wedding.
Yeah, let's.
Play a wedding song, Jonathan. That's not wedding music.
You sound like you're playing for a funeral.
Play something happy.
I'd rather play a funeral song.
No, that's too sad.
Let's play wedding.
I know why you want to play funeral. You can only play sad songs.
That's right.
You couldn't play a wedding song if you tried.
I can play anything.
Cannot.
Can too. Listen.
That's better.
I'm the bridegroom.
I'm the bride.
I'll be a bridesmaid. Here's my lamp filled with oil.
We're going to a wedding, a joyful wedding. La, 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 la. Look, there's Jesus in his father's carpenter shop.
Come play with us, Jesus.
We need a rabbi for the wedding.
You'd make a good rabbi. Come on.
I can't today. I want to help out in our carpenter shop.
Oh, you hardly ever play with us.
Come on, let's go to synagogue and play.
We'll find someone else to be a rabbi.
Yeah, you're no fun.
Hello, everyone. We're glad you're with us.
Welcome to another Story Hour program.
What's your story about, Uncle Dan?
We're going to tell you about the boyhood of a very special child, Jesus of Nazareth.
What was it like to be a young person like Jesus 2,000 years ago in Palestine?
Not very easy. There were heavy taxes, hunger, and much sickness, and the Jewish people were becoming more and more rebellious under the Roman rule.
So Jesus didn't have an easy childhood.
That's right.
What's the name of your story, Uncle Dan?
I'm going to call it
The King Grows Up.
The Bible has little to say about the childhood of Jesus. However, we know a little about homes like his. We know that Joseph was a carpenter, and we know that it was the custom of that time for boys to learn the trade of the head of the household.
There, I finished sweeping up the shavings. Anything else?
That's all for now, Jesus. But your mother needs you home the rest of this afternoon to help with the bread making.
Yum! I'm going right now.
You see what I mean, Reb Isaac? He's an excellent helper.
Yes, Joseph, he's a very obedient boy. But now that he's not here, I want to ask you, why doesn't Jesus attend the school of the rabbis and scribes, like all the other boys his age?
Well, he's still young.
Young? He's already 8. Most boys start in our school at 6.
We're teaching him at home, Mary and I. Mm. He seems to be learning just as much as the other boys.
Still, it doesn't seem right. It's just not our tradition.
Perhaps. Do you like this piece of cypress wood for your table, Isaac?
Yes, that's a nice piece of wood. I was thinking, Joseph, why do you want Jesus to be so different?
Different? It's more his own choosing, Isaac.
But he's just a boy, a child.
He's an amazing child.
Oh, how's that?
You've never seen anyone so kind. Why, just yesterday he gave his lunch to a poor traveler, and we don't have enough to give away, with all the taxes.
Taxes. Well, perhaps this new rebel Judas will teach the Romans a thing or two about demanding taxes from the Jewish people.
Huh? Judas, I hear he's gathering an army of sorts. That's not good.
There'll be much trouble. Much trouble. This year, this month, soon, Rome will not let us go without a fight and much bloodshed. I must be going. I've been sitting here too long. My old bones feel it. God be with you, Joseph.
And with you, Reb Isaac.
And God be with his people, Israel.
I'm here, Mother.
Oh, good. I need your help to carry this bread dough to the village oven.
All right, Mother. I'm strong.
Where did you go this morning so early?
I went for a walk in the hills. And I saw a baby sparrow that had fallen out of its nest.
And you put it back?
Yes.
Most boys your age would have thrown stones at it.
That's cruel. God would not like that. He knows every sparrow, doesn't he, Mother?
The workers are coming back from the fields.
They must be tired. May I get them some water to drink, Mother? It'll take just a minute.
All right. I'll be ready in a minute or two.
I tell you that was not fair. I worked since the sun rose, and you only worked from noon. You got paid as much as I did.
Yes, but you still got a day's wages, as the owner promised, didn't you?
Yes, but I should have gotten more than you. I worked twice as long.
Well, it may not be fair in your eyes, but I'm thankful the owner of that vineyard was generous. Now my family might be able to buy some fish for our supper, unless the tax collector gets the money first.
Here's our friend Jesus with cool water. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. What would we do without you, huh? Oh, that tasted good. You're a fine boy, Jesus.
That's Joash, isn't it? The fellow that went off with Judas of Galilee, the rebel.
Yes, and something's wrong. Hurry, let's see.
It's Joash.
He's hurt.
What's wrong? What's
the
wrong?
The Roman soldier's coming.
Quick, bring some bandages for his wounds.
It's over. The rebellion is lost.
Oh, no.
Even now, the Romans are preparing hundreds of crosses for the rebels they captured alive. It's over. Israel is lost. Judas of Galilee was not the Messiah.
Oh,
where is our Messiah?
Deliver us, O Lord, God of Israel.
Send us another David.
The Romans are coming. Will they destroy us too?
Come, Jesus. Let's go inside the house. This is no place for a young boy.
During the boyhood of Jesus, many rebellions were put down by the iron weapons of Rome, and thousands died in those rebellions. But there were also years of relative peace. In many ways, Jesus' life was like that of other boys of Israel. There was little time for play, for much of a boy's time had to be spent in trying to help the family earn enough for food. Jesus helped as he could. As in any Jewish boy's life, one of the most important birthdays was the 12th. That's when a boy was considered to be a youth, a son of the Torah, a son of the law. That's when he could go to Jerusalem for the Passover.
Is everything ready, Mary?
Just about, Joseph. You have the tent?
Yes. Well, Jesus, what do you think about going to Jerusalem?
I can hardly wait.
If we can judge by the setting sun and the red sky, it should be a fine day tomorrow for traveling.
The rains are over.
Unless a sudden storm comes up. Very unlikely. Well, it's time for bed. We must leave early in the morning. We shall be sleeping in a tent for many nights to come.
Early in the morning, along with a group of travelers, they leave Nazareth for the yearly trip to the holy city, Jerusalem. Their travels will take them across 80 miles of plains and desert. It will be a 3 or 4 day journey. The first day's journey is pleasant as the pilgrims follow the road through Galilee. The trees and flowers are in bloom and the birds dart about. The second and third day's journey becomes very difficult. The travelers enter the stark, treeless mountains of Gilead and Ephraim. There are no towns, only stone fortresses manned by Herod's soldiers.
Stop! Who goes there?
A group of pilgrims from Nazareth.
Where are you going?
To Jerusalem for the Passover.
Any rebels among you? Any with swords?
None. Only poor law-abiding pilgrims.
You may pass.
Hour by hour, the journey grows hotter. The third day is the hardest. A desert road of bleak hills and rocks. No water or shade. Just thorns, stones, sand, and hot, tired feet. Their only relief is the oasis of Jericho, a caravan city filled with camels, traders, and hundreds of pilgrims passing through. Then comes the last day's journey, when they top a hill and see the walls, roofs, and towers of Jerusalem gleaming in the sun.
Jerusalem.
Look, Jesus, there is the holy city.
Jerusalem, there is Jerusalem at last.
The holy city, the city of David, there is Jerusalem.
Praise God.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you.
Look, Jesus, there is the temple itself. all white and gold. And behind the temple is the Antonia Fortress.
Thank God, we're almost there.
Yes, Mary. Just across the Kidron Brook and through the gate into the city. Then we'll rent a room.
A rooftop will do, Joseph.
Fine. And then we'll prepare for the Passover. Our first one with Jesus in the holy city.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
The next afternoon at 3 o'clock, three blasts on silver trumpets announced the beginning of the Passover celebration. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were in the temple to take part. Jesus held a lamb, which his family had purchased for their sacrifice.
Look, Jesus, here come the priests now. Hear the bells on their robes. And there's the high priest, Annas.
The one with the beautiful blue robe and the golden bells?
Yes, that's the one. And he wears the breastplate with the 12 precious stones.
One for each of the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right. And look at the words on his crown. Holy to the Lord. Now, here come the regular priests in their white robes. And after them, the Levites.
Everybody's stopping. What's happening now?
It is time for the sacrifices to begin. Come, Jesus. Let's take our lamb to a priest.
The boy Jesus watched the Passover ceremonies with deep interest. He watched as lambs were offered as sacrifices on the altar. With hundreds of others, he bowed in prayer. Joseph and Jesus received their slaughtered lamb back from the priest. Then they left the temple and returned to the place where they were staying. There, Mary roasted the lamb over a fire. Some friends from Nazareth joined them for the Passover meal of unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and roasted lamb. It was traditional for young people to ask their parents the question,
Father, why is this night different from all other nights?
This is the night when the angel of the Lord passed over the homes of the Israelites and slew the firstborn of the Egyptians. This is the night when we became a free nation.
Father, why do we eat unleavened bread this night?
This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. He who hungers, let him come and eat with us. This night we are in bondage. Tomorrow we shall be free.
In this way, the Jewish people remembered the day when God had delivered them from bondage in Egypt, and hoped for the day when God would deliver them from bondage in Rome. For 7 days, the festival continued. Day by day, Jesus went to the temple. He saw more and more meaning in the temple services. Most of all, he was interested in the sacrifice of the innocent lambs.
It's like it says in the book of Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
As Jesus watched and thought about what he saw, new feelings rose within him. He remained silent as he watched, as if thinking about a great problem. Finally, the day came to return home. It's quite possible Mary left with a group of women from her hometown, while Joseph found himself with a group of his friends. Each thought Jesus was with the other. But Jesus was still in the temple. He had found the room used as a school, where leading teachers and their pupils gathered after the manner of the schools of the prophets. Here, Jesus heard the Jewish teachers discussing the meaning of many scripture passages. Jesus joined a small crowd gathered about them to listen and ask questions.
So, when the Messiah comes, we will again be a great nation. Then will be fulfilled the words of the prophet Isaiah. In days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots, and fill the whole world with fruit. Ah, the young lad by the doorway. You may come closer and listen.
Thank you, Rabbi. May I ask a question?
Certainly. What is your name and how old are you?
I am Jesus of Nazareth, and I'm 12 years old.
Then you are a son of the law. What is your question, lad?
Some things I've heard trouble me. You speak of the Messiah coming with great power, and as deliverer for the nation of Israel. Yet prophets like Isaiah also speak of his coming in a very humble way. I think of the scripture which says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. How can this be?
What child is this? He questions our explanations.
But he seems to know the scriptures well.
We shall see. We will test his knowledge. Ha! Jesus, my lad! What you have quoted is a parable of the suffering of the Jewish people, rather than of the Messiah. All our rabbis agree that the Messiah will come as King of Kings, conqueror of conquerors. But you seem to say that our tradition of the Messiah is wrong.
I only seek to understand the scriptures.
If you seek to understand, then you must become our student. You could become a great teacher in Israel, like Rabbi Hillel or Rabbi Gamaliel.
I only seek the will of God. As the prophet said, What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It would seem to me that these would also be the marks of the Messiah. Or do you think otherwise?
We must bring such a brilliant mind under our control.
Yes, let us question him further. Jesus, this is your first year as son of the law. What do you understand as being the greatest law?
Again, the great prophet said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart.
So the questions and answers continued throughout the day and into the night. In a humble way, Jesus brought the minds of Jerusalem's great teachers back to the Messiah foretold in Scripture. God was seeking to give light to Israel's leaders. While Jesus was talking with the teachers in the temple school, Joseph and Mary, with their friends and relatives, stopped to camp for the evening.
Mary, I'll take the donkey over on the hillside for a little grazing. In the meantime, have Jesus help you with supper. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Don't be gone too long, Joseph. It's almost night. I wonder where Jesus is. I haven't seen him all day. That's strange. He's usually so quick to help. Something must be wrong. Joseph! Joseph! Joseph, where is Jesus?
I don't know. I just supposed he was with some friends and that you knew where he was.
I haven't seen him all day.
I guess I was so busy talking with Esau and the others I didn't worry about him. But I'm sure he's around somewhere, perhaps with his cousins.
It's not like Jesus to be gone from us so long. And it's almost night. I'm worried, Joseph. Please go look for him.
All right. I'll go up ahead in the caravan and search for him. You go back along the line.
Joseph! Joseph!
Yes, Mary?
Have you found Jesus yet?
No. I'm afraid I haven't. He's not with any of our relatives, as we had hoped, nor with anyone else from Nazareth.
Oh, no. My Jesus, where could he be? Do you think... Oh, Joseph, remember how Herod tried to have him killed when he was just a baby?
We'll find him, Mary. Oh. Now, try to calm yourself. Oh. Joseph. We'll start back to Jerusalem tomorrow morning. Maybe even tonight he'll turn up. It's not like him to wander away from us.
Oh, I hope he'll find us soon. Oh, Lord God, keep Jesus safe tonight. Help us find him quickly.
Early the next morning, Joseph and Mary bid farewell to their traveling companions and turned back across the blazing desert to Jerusalem. They asked every traveler they met the same question.
Have you seen a 12-year-old boy by himself traveling this way?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
The answer was always the same. Finally, Joseph and Mary returned to Jerusalem. But where in all that great city would they find one young boy? First, they returned to the home where they had stayed. But Jesus wasn't there. They checked the marketplace, but no sign of him. Finally, Joseph had an idea.
He seemed so interested in the temple services. Maybe he's still there.
Oh, I hope so. Let's hurry, Joseph.
But the temple was large and had dozens of rooms. Near the end of the third day, almost ready to give up, Joseph and Mary drew near the room where the classes with the teachers were being conducted.
Shh! I think I heard his voice. It sounded like it came from over there. Come on, Joseph.
You speak of the Messiah destroying the Gentiles.
You're right, Mary. That's Jesus.
Yet what is your understanding of the scripture which says, "All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name"? Who are all these nations? Will the Messiah come for them also?
Jesus, oh my son, here you are. We looked all over for you.
Excuse us, rabbis, sirs, but we lost our son, and we've been looking for him for 3 days, and, well, as you can imagine, we are quite relieved to find him.
So you are the child's parents. You have a rather unusual child. His knowledge of the sacred scriptures is, well, highly extraordinary, to say the least.
Jesus is a diligent student of God's word.
Yes, that is apparent. Unfortunately, it is also quite apparent from his rather unorthodox understanding of the scriptures that he is not a scholar in one of our schools.
Yes, that is true, sir.
He really ought to be in school here. The young mind, especially an original mind like his, must be brought under the discipline of our formal education.
Sirs, I'm afraid I do not understand. Do you mean that Jesus has an inadequate understanding of the scriptures?
Well, let me try to make clear what I mean. His knowledge of scripture is very strong, but it only goes so far. He seems to have his own highly unusual interpretation of what that scripture means. Often it is not according to our interpretation and tradition. He really should be trained under our rabbis.
His mother and I shall give your counsel careful consideration. And now we must leave. We have a long journey ahead of us. God be with you, sirs.
And with you.
Later, when Joseph and Mary were alone with Jesus, Mary spoke to Jesus.
Son, you had us very worried. We had no idea where you were. Why did you do this to us? Cause us this pain?
But, Mother, why did you need to search for me? Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house?
Joseph and Mary didn't understand Jesus' answer. But at the age of 12, Jesus seemed to know what his mission would be, that he would be the Messiah. But he also knew the time was not yet. The Bible tells us that Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. For the next 18 years, from ages 12 to 30, we have no Bible descriptions of the life of Jesus. But we know he lived in Nazareth, and he trained to be a carpenter. It is also very likely that Jesus went through a lot of conflict with the religious leaders because he always sought to obey God's word instead of tradition. No doubt Mary's heart was saddened many times as she witnessed the trials Jesus met and so patiently endured.
Remember, Joseph, at the temple when we were dedicating Jesus as a baby. The old prophet Simeon held him and said to me, "A sword shall pierce your heart also." You know, I'm beginning to understand a little of what that means. It hurts me deep inside to see how the rabbis and others in our village treat Jesus sometimes. and just because he loves the Lord God and tries to share that love with others.
My Mary, my poor, sweet Mary, I hope I'm always by your side to ease some of that pain.
But Joseph died before Jesus became 30 years old. At that age, Jesus put aside his carpenter's tools and began building the kingdom of God, telling the world the good news that God is love.